Thai PBS World Podcast. Between Work by Thai PBS World. If you are a non-Thai person who is trying to navigate work and life in Thailand, we're here for you. Hello and welcome to Between Work by Thai PBS World. This is a show where we discuss work, life, and inspirations for your daily grind. As usual, I'm Claire Pachimanon, and I'm joined by John Marwin E. Lau from Philstar.com. Hi, John.
Hi, Claire, and hi our listeners. It's good to be back.
And we have Muhammad Hasik Sahid as well from Radio and Television Malaysia. Hi, Hasik.
Hello. Hi, Claire, and everyone's listening. Welcome back to our podcast, I guess.
Yeah, for the record, after 7 weeks in Thailand working together, yeah, I have managed to pronounce Hasik's name properly.
Ooh, without retakes.
Yeah, without reading
it. Give an A to Claire for that.
So basically, this series feature 8 episodes with 2 of you covering your thoughts and experiences as Thai PBS Journalist Fellows of 2025. Now, this week, we're going to talk about myths. Myth with T-H and S.
Myth.
Like myth.
Myth.
From the root word
myths.
From the root word mythology.
There you go. There you go.
Working
myths about Thai workplace.
Interesting.
Because you've been here for a while now. So I've compiled a list of myths, TH. And you can tell the audience, our listeners, if it's true, if it's not true, then why is it not true? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna start with this one. Does it require a lot of adapting to Thai work culture? Like working in Thailand, it requires a lot of adapting. Is it true or false? A myth or reality?
Myth, I think. Yeah, because I don't know. It's just so easy to like, maybe because the people are friendly. So it's easy to like to get adapted to the environment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I think it's a myth for me also because aside from the fact that people at Thai PBS is very welcoming and very friendly, I get to like experience how Thai media work. I get to see how things work for you guys and compare it to our newsroom back in the Philippines. And it's easy to adapt. And I guess not much of adapting needed to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great to hear. Mm-hmm. What about this one? Thai work culture is characterized by a rigid hierarchy.
Oh, no. I don't think so. I don't know about other departments, but 2 departments that we've been so far, digital media department and also Thai PBS World, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of like a running joke, I guess. The boss is the workers.
Running joke back.
Yeah. The boss is the worker, right?
Yeah, both. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it depends. I can't say much about other bosses, but the bosses that I face here in the Thai PBS world are the digital media one. They're very good and not like, because you can see it on people. Like people will be like how do they call this? They have space to interact with their bosses, but here I can see that the bosses are very open to their colleagues.
Yeah. I've lost count where I went to classroom to pitch ideas just like out of the blue.
You just barge. Yeah, we just barge. Yeah. In.
The boss is the worker. Exactly true. I guess there's a distinction between authority and respect for me. Like, although the boss is very authoritative in a Thai workplace, but I don't think anybody sees me as like that authoritative figure that much.
Mm.
More like respected senior who you can actually talk to. I hope it's that way at least.
Yeah. I think age is a big difference here. Like if you have like an older boss, I think that's the time hierarchy will matter.
True.
Like because they were alive in the time where hierarchy means not respecting, but always following what he or she ordered during their tenure as the boss before.
Yeah, that's true. It feels the same. Like I think age plays a big role because we're not like I would love to say that we're the same age, but we're not. I'm slightly older.
You're not too old.
But yeah.
Nah.
Anyway. Okay, let's move on to the next one. Work culture in Thailand is very relaxed and easygoing.
Yes.
Yes.
Very sabay-sabay.
Yeah. They have the term sabay-sabay, which means, I guess, chill.
Yeah, it's chill. Like, take like, it relax, easy. Yeah.
Is it in a good way or a bad way? It's like, too chill.
Yeah, but make it not too sabay.
I think because they know what they are doing.
Yeah. They're familiar with their work already. They know what time they will finish this task.
Yeah.
That's why they don't need to...
No stress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, like, they do not overthink their work much.
Yeah.
Which, again, overthinking will affect how your work output is, right? So if you take it, like, in an easy mind, open mind, like, the output is gonna work out well.
Yeah. Like, last time I did editing process with Sapai. And he came at 3, I guess. To start editing my piece, and he's fast. I mean, he finished at around 6 something.
Mm.
Yeah, it was fast because he knows what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it aired at 10 p.m. Right?
Yeah, it aired at 10 p.m.
You know what? As a boss, I would encourage some sense of urgency in approaching work. Too sabay is not encouraged, I guess. I don't want my team to be too chill.
Like, my sabay.
Sabay, but not too sabay, just like you said. By the way, sabay is the Thai word, which means relaxed, comfortable, right? Easygoing. What about the Thai work mindset? We're sabay, so we're not that competitive, but deep down inside, some people might be competitive.
Yeah.
I can see that. I attended a beauty pageant. This week, right? But I can see that many Thai people are really cheering for their candidate, and I can see how there is a sense of pride in each of you guys. So I guess Thai culture is like supporting one another in terms of like fighting with another culture.
It's another nationalism country. Yeah. Nationalism.
Oh wow. Okay, let's move on to the next one. This one is I already know the answer, but I want to ask you guys. Anyway, so Thai office workers eat all day.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
So do the Filipinos and the Malaysians, right?
Yeah.
Is it an Asian thing?
Yeah, I guess, but here is so much more.
Yeah. I can really always see people
munching.
Holding stuff on their hand, holding food. At any time of the day, you can see like people buying food.
Mm-hmm,
anytime.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially in our soy, because we live near a market, right?
Oh, so
I can see always people buying food. And Thai people really love their food so much.
Can you describe the situation that you saw every day in the office? Did it surprise you on the first week that you join us?
I guess the second week, I think, was why it caught me by surprise. By 4 or 5 p.m., one of the staff always cooks something.
Yeah.
Either it's fries or like a pizza or something, yeah.
And the microwave is always occupied. Someone is always heating up something. The pantry is always full. Like, many people are eating always. Like, there will not be time that's the table is vacant.
You know
vacant.
What's the most surprising thing is they are all fit.
Yeah. I noticed that. Maybe because they love to walk or something.
Maybe.
They love to walk to buy something.
They're all fit, including you, Claire. I cannot see a single person that's like overweight or something in the office.
Walk a lot to get food.
Yeah.
Food's the inspiration. What's it like back home for you?
We also have pantry in our office. Mm-hmm. Many PRs will always deliver food in our office. So
yeah, we get free stuff. Like,
yeah,
stuff.
Every time, because we work hybrid, right? Every Wednesday or Thursday, there's always going to be free lunch. There's always going to be drinks. because of the PRs that are set, that are giving gifts to the office. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, we like to buy takeouts, deliveries, to eat at our table or in the common area.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
At any time of the day. We, especially Thursday, we have like, we eat breakfast there, we eat lunch until dinner.
Mm.
We stayed late. We stayed late during Thursdays.
Oh, I see. What about you, Uzi?
In my desk, at my desk, sorry, at my desk, there's like this box of junk food. Like, and we have to hide it because like our desk is like an open space, right?
Mm.
There's also like other languages desk. Right. So one time like we didn't put it in the box. So I think like we bought like a lot of things like junk foods like Kit Kat or something like right?
Yeah.
And yeah, if we didn't put it in the box, it would be finished by 2 or 3 days because people from other desks would just come in and just take.
Just take it.
Yeah, without asking for permission.
I remember because we occupy 2 offices. In the other office is the editorial and the other one is sales.
Mm-hmm.
In the sales office, they have their own refrigerator. So because we eat, because we eat so much, right? And we use deliver and then when we didn't finish the food, we put it in the refrigerator.
Mm.
And then we left it for 2 weeks.
Oh my.
And then my coworker from the sales department reprimanded us because it got spoiled.
Ah.
It got spoiled in the refrigerator. And she said like, don't please finish your food and don't let it be spoiled in the refrigerator.
Yeah, it happens sometimes at our office as well.
Yeah.
By the way, we've only got 1 fridge and it's chaired by, I don't know, over 50 people, right?
Oh.
It's crazy. The situation is crazy, but people tend to be able to adapt. So office workers in Asia more or less eat all day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we, in our office, like we have this, we have a pantry. And in the pantry, there's this one, I guess, she was a former worker there. Mm. She was a former staff. In RTM, and she put on like a rack of snacks, and like she doesn't need to be there. Like people would just put in money in a like some sort of I'll say it's a, like a piggy bank type of thing, right? Or just you can just QR that level of trust, and like she said, like sometimes people don't pay, but she doesn't mind, she said, because it's okay, I'll just do charity for them.
Oh, wow. Very generous.
Kind of like an honesty store.
Yeah, it's like an honesty store, exactly.
Yeah,
like,
we do have that in our office as well. We do have the cabinet filled with snacks.
Ah.
Haven't discovered that.
I just noticed.
You have not discovered our treasure.
It's been 7 weeks, bro.
Okay, I have to show you. It's the same at Taipei PS World. We do have a snack cabinet with a can for money, but most people just scan like QR codes.
Mm.
They don't like use, you know, the paper money very much anymore.
Yeah,
but yeah, sounds good. next one, you need to be able to speak Thai to work and live here.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's not a myth. Because although Thai people can generally speak basic English, it's still, for foreigners, they still need to learn the language to acclimate more, right? Because there are some like that can't communicate well in English, and that will start like a miscommunication or something. But good thing there are Google Translate nowadays, so it's not much of an adjustment. But really, if you plan to work here, you really need to study like even the basic reading or speaking the Thai language. It's much more important.
It is more prominent when you try to order food from Grab or something like that, right? Most of the riders, they cannot speak in English.
Yeah, exactly.
So I have to ask for like
PM.
Yeah, PM or TIF to speak to them for me.
Right.
For the directions and everything. And for work, I guess it's even harder for journalists because you go out to see like day-to-day people, right? Day-to-day people, I think most of them have like low level of English proficiency, right? So it's hard to create or to make a story, to report a story if you don't have basic Thai knowledge.
That's why foreigners need to adjust because they're the ones coming here, right? So I think they're the ones who should learn how to speak the language, I guess.
Yeah, is that the case as well in the Philippines and in Malaysia?
For?
Yeah.
Like local language, like?
For the Philippines, because English is, we have two national languages, official languages, Filipino and English. So English is part of our national official language, right?
Mm.
So all the writings, the official documents from the government, all the stuff that the important ones are in English. So I think not much of a adjustment for foreigners if they want to.
So you can get by with just English.
And normal people, like the everyday, day-to-day, they can understand basic, even the basic English, they can understand, like, so you can buy something, they can say like, okay, sir, like that. So they can understand, I guess. How about in Malaysia?
In Malaysia, I guess it's, the national language is Malay language, which is our local language. But English is like, I would say second. But it's not an official language, but I would say like I don't think foreigners gonna have a hard time in Asia if they speak only English, right? Because I see a lot of, I don't know, it's like for the past few weeks that I'm here, I see a lot of foreign influencer like from US, from the UK. They came to Malaysia and just, you know, like live there for about a month or something like that, and they don't have any problem, I guess, in communicating with the locals.
Yeah.
But I guess there's still a barrier if you go outside of the city. Go outside of the Kuala Lumpur, right?
Yeah.
There's still like the language barrier is quite high.
I see. Yeah. So Thailand needs to work harder in terms of English language proficiency.
But even if the proficiency in English is a bit of a problem, many tourists still go here, right? Because they want to experience the authenticity of
It's cheap.
I guess,
Yeah.
Which comes to the next question.
Ooh.
It's cheap to work and live here.
No.
Really?
No.
Especially if you're...
Also, this is a big myth about Thailand.
Yeah.
I mean, if you come from Western countries, it's cheap for you. Mm. But if you like from
other Asian
countries, it's not too cheap.
Yeah.
What's expensive here? Like, comparing to your home country?
I think it's like the... Because I had a bad experience with the utility bills. This is very expensive. Like, even my household utility bills is not that high. But in Malaysia.
I guess transportation.
Yeah.
Even if it's very... I love the transportation because many train lines and... Yeah, but it's still not cheap.
I think the transportation-wise, they are cheap. If you travel alone.
Yeah,
but if you travel with a group, it's better to go by Grab.
But the small purchases,
The 7-Eleven, the 7-Eleven,
and then one, and at the end of the day, oh my God, I spent $1,000 because you.
No, you know, how much do you spend like a day on average in when you're working?
When going out, he spends
big money. Tell him.
Okay. So it differs from.
Case
like,
example.
Just example, like the other day, I went to eat at this like Mama Bakery, I think.
Mama Roti.
I think near the Bangkok.
Near Bangkok Port.
Is this like lunch or dinner?
A lunch. Yeah, okay. And I spend $500 there.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
For me.
He's a rich guy, but I think I spent over $300 there.
So this is a typical weekend lunch.
Yeah. When we go out.
Yeah, when we go out.
But the food in the cafeteria here in Taipei Bay is very cheap.
This is extraordinarily cheap.
Yeah.
My lunch is usually just 40 baht. 40 or 60, I ordered two viands.
That means like on a work day, you find it affordable, but to go out in Thailand is expensive.
But when we go out, like to eat at more restaurants, another restaurants, it's going to be huge
expenditure.
Okay. So what do you love most about being here? Like, generally, it doesn't have to be a myth or anything, but what was it that you had a perception that might be different to your real experience living here?
It's a good question. I guess.
Because for me, I used to have to fly to London to film a series for 2 weeks as well. And for me, I had this perception that it's going to be very expensive for me to get around, to eat, to do anything. It's going to be like, because it's a European country. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, sorry, London is not a country, it's a city. it's a European city. So I presumed that it was going to be expensive. But in fact, if you know where to shop, it's not that expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, with packed lunch and everything, it's quite affordable.
In
but
London?
Transportation is expensive.
Costly.
Very
expensive. What do
you
usually use for transportation? The tube?
The tube is expensive. I use the bus. Sometimes I just like, if I have time, I would walk all the way from the office back to the accommodation, which is like 25 minutes away. It's not that bad.
Because it's cold.
It's cold.
London.
Yeah.
As you're walking.
Yeah. By the way, Thailand is nice and cool at the moment.
Oh, wow. I love it.
I love it. Everybody loves it.
Yeah. Like, especially during the night.
Yeah. I was like, this should be the weather when we arrive. Like, because the weather last time, it's hot and rainy, right?
Yeah.
And this weather right now is, I love it. I've tried one cold weather.
Yeah. Like 22, I guess.
Yeah. 22. And morning, it drops to 20 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm. You can feel the wind, the cool.
Yeah. So what surprises you about, like, maybe a myth that you might have in your mind when you were departing for this journey?
Because people say that Thai workplace is very stiff. It's very, what do you call this? Very formal.
Very rigid.
Very rigid. But when I arrive at Thai PBS World, it's very sabay.
I remember you guys on the first day. You were very formal.
Yeah.
Very, very formal, like business shirts.
Yeah, and
like outfit. Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. It's ingrained, I guess, to like be presentable
on the first day.
On the first day. Right?
Impress them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not. I think what I had in mind before I came here was that, how am I gonna talk to this guy? Or like. Oh, yeah, and the most surprisingly is because I'm a Muslim, right? And people always say, like, Bangkok is so hard to find halal food. It's not. It's
not true, right?
Yeah, it's easy.
It's a myth.
It's a myth. Like, you can find, like, not on every corner, but I guess in, like, a radius of 2 or 3 kilometers, there is a halal.
And I think factor from that is because Pitif is helping us.
Yeah, like,
to find halal food.
Right? Halal restaurant, yeah.
So what's your experience of Thai food, like? Was it too spicy? A lot of people said that
during my first week, my stomach is always exploding because it's too spicy. But right now, I can't eat food without the spiciness anymore. So I think I've acclimated with eating with spicy food.
There's a sign, John.
It's a sign from above.
You need to move here.
But my mom loves to cook spicy food because she was born in the region that chili pepper was grown. So it's popular there. So
it's like a vegetable for her.
But I get to eat more chili here. Like 100 times more.
Okay. And what's halal food like in Thailand compared to Malaysia?
I think because Malaysia is a Muslim majority country, so you find a lot more halal food.
A lot more delicious?
It's a lot more delicious.
He's proud of his country.
Because, how do I say this? Because I love spicy food, right? And I don't think, like, people always say, like, Thai food is spicy, you know, like, you should try Malaysian food.
My coworker also said that Malaysian foods are much spicier.
Yes, because we always, there's this one dish called lemak cili api, which basically is a...
Chili paste?
It's a bird chili, like a lot of bird chili put in with a coconut milk sauce or something like that.
Is it like a paste?
Yeah, it's like a paste.
I think I've seen it. Yeah. It's a paste, a chili paste, a type of chili paste that you eat with like as a condiment with your rice.
Oh no, but this one you like put in together into the milk, the coconut milk, and then you like mix it together, and then you like smoke the beef.
Right.
You smoke the beef and put it into the in the gravy.
Okay, I get it.
And it's super spicy. I ate it, like every time I ate it, like I always sweat. But here I don't sweat while I eat, like. So I have high tolerance of spicy.
Sabai.
Yeah, it's very spicy. Like, people always say, oh, Thai food is spicy. I said, I mean,
Sabay-sabay food.
It's funny. Our topic also goes back to food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't it exactly. always, yeah. every episode, this is not only about like on the podcast, but in our general conversation at work as well. It tends to go, revolves around food. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something that I'm not sure what.
I think it's a common interest.
Common Asian interest.
Yeah, common Asian interest. Like European people, they cannot like promote their food that much. I mean, like, what do they have? Fish and chips.
Hey, they do have like I don't know, roast
roast beef with stroganoff or something.
Even like good Western food, they come from like I think from America. I think
I've read the news that
you're gonna get a lot of hate for this.
I've read the news that a Japanese woman win the tiramisu contest in Italy.
See?
Oh dear.
See?
Okay. There you go.
Tiramisu is from Italy and someone from outside Italy. From Italy winning.
Yeah,
it.
Tiramisu is like pull you up, right? Yeah. It doesn't mean it sounds Japanese, but it's not.
It's not.
Yeah,
we all know that. Anyway, I guess we're gonna wrap it up for this week's conversation, Myths About Thailand. I hope it's useful for a lot of listeners out there who are thinking of coming to work or live here or even travel. But if you do have any questions about Thailand, you can always send the questions to us as well, and we'll try to answer in our next episode if possible. But anyway, for this week, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have a good week.
Open crab.
See you again next week.